Say, Lord Jesus,
I have eyes to see.
I have ears to hear.
What your Spirit is speaking to me. So when I woke up this morning at 12:21 a.m., I was pressed to take Holy Communion, but he told me to take cake. It was time to celebrate. Because, I mean, I slept for a little while before that time, but it was still running through my whole soul. And there was a few things that I did see, which I presume was a vision-dream combination about a couple of other people that are going to be involved, but I don't know what that totally means. I'm just going to speak it out. And that's the word I wrote down. It's time to take cake and wine to truly celebrate your divine appointments from yesterday. Two young men and a girl with the University of Mass came to my door. I run to answer the door, and they ask about saving electricity, etc. Then Holy Spirit took over, and it was truly great, and I shared a little bit of what God was doing. Then I was pressed to look at Psalms 12, because the Lord had said 12-21, and he said to go to Psalm 12 and Psalm 21. So that's where we're going. Psalm 12 is, he told me it was to be sung, so I sang it during the night, not too loud, obviously. And he said, "Help, Lord, for the godly are no more. The faithful have vanished from among men. Everyone lies to his neighbor. Their flattering lips speak with deception." Now, if that doesn't qualify for the news, I would say King David went through the same. "May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and every boastful tongue that says, 'We will triumph with our tongue. We own our lips. Who is our master?' Because of the oppression of the weak and the groaning of the needy, I will now arise, says the Lord." That's your spark. "I will protect them from those who malign them. And the word of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay. Purified seven times. I thought that was cool. "O Lord, you will keep us safe and protect us from such people forever. The wicked freely strut about when what is vile is honored among men." Doesn't that qualify for today?
Does that hit the nail on the head?
Now, I was stunned.
Yes.
Now, hold on to your britches, because we're going a little deeper. Psalms 21. "O Lord, the king rejoices in your strength. How great is his joy in the victories you give. You have granted him the desire of his heart and have not withheld the request of his lips. You welcome him with rich blessings and place a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked you for life, and you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. Through the victories you gave, his glory is great. You have bestowed on him splendor and majesty. Surely you have granted him eternal blessings and made him glad with the joy of your presence. Now that's, to me, that's tying the feast up. Because it's with your presence that you're going to bring people to the Lord. That's what happened in my driveway yesterday. It wasn't an advertising program. It was their incredible reaction to the Holy Spirit using my mouth to awaken them and not agree with the darkness that they've been deceived by. So, the king trusts in the Lord through the unfailing love of the Most High. He will not be shaken. Your hand will lay all your enemies. Your right hand will seize your foes at the time of your appearing. You will make them like a fiery furnace. And that's exactly what I felt like. In his wrath, the Lord will swallow them up, and his fire will consume them, and will destroy their descendants from the earth, the posterity from mankind. Though they plot evil against you and devise wicked schemes, they cannot succeed. For you will make them turn their backs when you aim at them with drawn bow. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your might. There's your spirit of might in this morning, okay? So now I'm very excited. I'm excited about this, and I said, Lord, this is so cool. Okay? Because it really speaks about what he's doing with the church and what he wants to do with the kings. Amen? Amen. Here's my surprise. I glance to the next page and I see 12:21. January 12th, 21. Those are my notes. Okay? There's the 12:21 again. Okay? Holy Communion for President Trump. Probably around like 4 o'clock in the morning. That's usually the time. And it's Psalm 22. So I said, Lord, this is absolutely stunning to see that you prepared this 9 months ago. And we're coming into the new. Because again, there's a birthing happening. That was part of the word that we were given. There's a birthing in progress. Okay? That birthing is coming to life. He's bringing the new. So Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? Now, doesn't that sound like President Trump after losing and having to take a backseat to a crook? At least that's my perspective, and I have a right to it. So far from the word of my groaning, oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, I am not silent. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you, our fathers put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. Do you notice there's a repetition of, you know, the cry for mercy that was definitely in his heart, because this is a few days after everything was turned over because of the circumstances. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. And I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you. even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me, roaring lions tearing their prey, open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men have encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. But you, O Lord, be not far off. Oh, my strength comes quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lion. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my brothers. In the congregation I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel, for he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him. He has, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you will I fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. They who seek the Lord will praise him. May your heart live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember the turn to the Lord. They will remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations will bow down before him. From dominion belongs to the Lord. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will knead before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive, posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, for he has done it. When I read that again this morning, I was thinking about King David being able to prophesy the words that were repeated from the cross. Yet there's more. And it really is describing, because you and I know that when we're in agony to that degree, there are words that do come out of our mouth. But sometimes there's much more words going out from our soul. And we're literally weeping inside, crying out, when are you going to do something? How are you going to do it? Where are you? What have you done? Why haven't you done? And we end up in a quandary of torment. And that to me was, again, a picture of what our president has been going through. I do believe there's a lot more coming down the highway on the political front. But yesterday, when I was downstairs before the children came there, I listened to Dr. Shiva, who had a beautiful rendition of what's happening right now and what he's been through when he was teaching. And he pointed out that the chromosome, if I remember correctly, of a man and a worm are the same. And I was stunned. He expected to have more, but that's not the case. And then in verse 6, but I am a worm and not a man. That's our Savior. Okay? And that confirmed what I listened to Dr. Shiva, and he's a very powerful man. He's got an incredible mind, and he's got an incredible ability. But he said that all of the things that he's been struggling with Massachusetts, he's won every case. Okay? That was pretty cool. And they're going deeper and deeper. And now, of course, he's trying to educate people. And he pointed out that now you're seeing a little bit of resistance with the situations in the political realm. And he said, and I want to see more of that because it's got to come from the people. And it's got to be the people that rise up in order for something that is going to be dramatic, that will hold. But keeping in mind that, you know, when this word was given to me back in January, I know, you know, my crying out for grace for the president has not stopped. That is still ongoing inside. What I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to do is to trust the Lord, trust his perfect plan that is unfolding. And when we see the airlines shutting down, don't panic. When we see the truckers shutting down, don't panic. Amen. You know, it's designed by God to bring about a restoration and resistance. Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to wake up. Okay? And it's not because I want to be on the political shelf today and scream about that. That's not where I'm at. I am saying the church needs to be obedient. And we need to stay focused on what his abilities are and to prepare the people, especially this next generation that came to my door. I didn't hunt for them. They came. And so, again, looking at what you have been commissioned to do, what you have been ordained to do, and then to carry out your commission to the best of your ability. So would you put your right hand over your heart, please? Say, Lord Jesus, you're speaking to us.
Lord Jesus, you're speaking to us.
We are the intercessors.
We are the intercessors.
We're lifting up what's happening in Massachusetts.
We're lifting up what's happening in Massachusetts.
And also in New York.
And also in New York.
There's a revival in Rochester.
There's a revival in Rochester.
And the tents are up.
And the tents are up.
And Holy Ghost is having a field day over there.
And Holy Ghost is having a field day over there.
And now he's having a field day here.
Because
we've been sparked to life.
And
we will continue to obey.
That's your purpose for us.
And there's a reason why we're being tested.
And we will pass.
We will be victorious.
And we give you praise.
Because we'll see the hand of the Lord
in the land of the living.
All the rich of the earth
will feast and worship.
All who go down to the dust
will kneel before him.
Those who cannot keep themselves alive.
Posterity will serve him.
Future generations will be told
about the Lord.
They will proclaim his righteousness
to a people yet unborn.
For he has planned it this way.
So shall it be.
Yes, even for me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Glory to you, Jesus.